Are you ready, world? Here's a sneak peek at MetLife Stadium, the home of WrestleMania.
I'm back where I belong. Yeah, I never felt so strong. Yeah. I'm back.
It's the Statue of Liberty.
Can't try. And if you will be, put your hands high.
There you are. It's the Brooklyn Bridge. It's the Empire State Building. Strong will pack MetLife Stadium for WrestleMania. How about those apples, huh?
You just let me fuck into one I can fucking talk. Hey yo, and here we go with the post-WrestleMania 29 edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, Mo, I think I have a concussion.
Really?
Yeah, I was walking my dog and I slipped on the ice and I fell and landed with all my weight on my head.
Oh. Okay. What are you doing? You keep trying to put the cross face on me.
Anyways, I'm concussed and Addy's an ass. Wait,
no,
just
I'm,
tired.
No, I'm tired.
Just tired.
Tired?
Aren't you? You said you slept until 2 in the afternoon.
Wow. I was at a casino last night.
And how'd you
Sapphire.
Do? How'd you do?
Huh? I'd rather not say.
Anyways, WrestleMania. This is a show that I would consider to be not really a good show, but I think interesting to talk about, kind of.
This was one of the better backlashes they've ever had.
I wouldn't quite go that way. I think the thing is, coming out of this, I think most of the things happened that we expected.
Yes.
And yet I don't really have a sense of knowing exactly where they're going from here, or kind of if even though, what we expected happened, if they're happy with how it happened, or, anyways, let's just get into it. Let's open it up. Opening match is The Shield versus Sheamus, Orton, and Big Show.
That's right. Big story here, Shield win, and no heel turn by anyone other than, I mean, the Big Show, I guess, was already kind of a heel, just starting to do a baby face, and he, at the end of the match, the story was that he won. Sheamus was about to tag Show, and Orton tagged himself in, and so Show was pissed. Shield took out Sheamus, so Sheamus was down, and then they're beating up Orton in the ring, and Show just watched because he was pissed at them.
Yeah, exactly. He could have made the save for the pin. He didn't make the save. So what you got was him basically, after the match, the guy's kind of questioning him, and he knocked them both out with the punch.
Mm-hmm, the KO punch, and Big Show's got a point.
well, a little bit, but it's still a douchey move, but I mean, it got some boos, but before that, very little heat for the match. There's a point where they booed Orton pretty good when he was working on Seth Rollins. But other than that, not an awful lot of heat for the match. I understand it was cold there. I understand that the
literally not a lot of heat.
No, I understand that maybe some of the set design interfered with people's sight lines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it was quite an elaborate set, right? So
yeah, so I mean, this could have affected it, but at the end of the day, I say this is interesting because we didn't get the turns that we expected. The big post-show angle is Big Show knocking out the two already baby faces, and it kind of just leaves us status quo. So now we're back to exactly where we were, 6 weeks ago. Big Show is a heel. Those two are baby faces, and the Shield is unbeatable.
Yeah. Rinse and repeat.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, well, where do you go from here? Show versus Sheamus, we're not going to see again. I goddamn hope. And actually, I feel the same way about Show and Orton.
Right.
And you know, I just don't know where you go from there, so.
No, and that's the thing is it was, it made logical sense to do an Orton turn, so you created some freshness, and you didn't do it, so you haven't created any freshness yet, so.
Yeah.
And then you go to Ryback and Mark Henry was the next match. Bit of a surprise.
Bit of a surprise, yeah, I knew it was possible, just because, again, I mean, basically, Henry won.
Yeah.
Henry dominated most of the match, and then Ryback kind of made the comeback. It looked like he was going to get the win, and banana peel slip type finish, yeah. And Henry gets the win, basically because Ryback kind of slips as he is, you know, as he's lifting him up, he falls and lands on him, kind of squishes him, and just because he's a big guy, gets the pin. Then after the match, when he's walking away, he has the chance to, you know, big splash him or whatever. But Ryback makes the comeback and then gets his, you know, shell shock, you know, marching man
bullshit
thing out of the way.
Yeah.
Crowd was definitely booing Ryback,
mm-hmm.
cheering Henry, and a few Goldberg chants. They did chant "Feed Me More" when they were, you know,
when they're supposed to, for the meat hook clothesline.
Yeah, and afterwards, after, you know, he got his heat back, and I said to you on I think when we did the show on Thursday, I said, no matter who wins, the other guy gets his heat back.
Yeah,
and that's what we saw. And then he, you know, stands in the ring, does the chant thing, and they get into it. But again, not a lot of heat.
I get the feeling that it's Mark Henry now with the win was set up as John Cena's first contender.
And this is, again, what I said on Thursday. If he wins, it's because, you know, they need a guy with Cena. And I guess him and Cena, at least, is a fresh matchup. I mean, I think I saw it once on Raw, and that's about it, right?
So, yeah.
I mean, I guess it's something to do. Not something I'll pay a lot of money for, but something to do.
Or any money for. No.
I get my pay-per-views at 50% off, so.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So
that's about 50% more than I want to pay for,
yeah.
Cena and Mark Henry. So I could stream it for free.
You have a point.
Yes.
Not off the WWE website.
No. Their pay-per-view was all sorts of fucked up. It was odd because they brought in specialists in that internet pay-per-view field. I understand that Gabe Sapolsky was running the...
Yeah, they got a lot of guys from ROH to run the internet feed for them and of their website. And yet it didn't work. Really surprising. It didn't turn on until if you bought the pay-per-view there.
9 o'clock Eastern.
Yeah, at which point it started showing you for the main event. It started at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's kind of embarrassing, honestly.
Yeah, I see. Refunds go over there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And meanwhile, I mean, we're able to at least watch, we're watching the YouTube channel. We have it on in the background here. At least the YouTube channel Postco game show is working. I mean, we should mention that The Miz did win the IC belt.
In 4 minutes.
In 4 minutes. It looked like we didn't see it. We saw the highlights. It looked like 3 minutes and 52 seconds of Barrett getting offense and hitting all his big moves on him. Miz continuing to kick out until he got the
figure four. Yeah,
until he got the figure four. Yeah.
Yeah, and I did like the way he put the figure four on. I thought that was really unique. Yeah.
It was different.
But, yeah. So Miz is the Intercontinental Champion on the post show, or on the pre show, rather. And then, what was the third match? The Hell No against.
Which I didn't really see. I mean, again, it went 10 minutes. I had to take the dog out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came back. I used the bathroom. And I came back and it's gone. It's over. I'm like, wow. I saw a little bit, but not an awful lot.
Triple H is right now getting x-rays on his hand, his arm, as we're watching the post show.
Yeah, he had the Kimura locked on him a few times. And he locked the Kimura on Brock Lesnar a few hundred times.
He sold it so well.
But we'll get there. Team Hell No.
Team Hell No gets the Duke.
Yeah, Ziggler's the one who gets pinned by Daniel Bryan.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, when that happened, we go, okay, that could very well lead to Ziggler getting the belt.
Cashing in.
Because, I mean, nothing more than you want the guy who just got pinned getting the belt. But again, it could lead to something between him and Big E. It's a big E.
Langston.
Yeah.
That's his name.
Yeah. But, you know, it didn't. The next match, I believe, was it the Slayer match?
Could be. Yeah, sounds right. No, was it Jericho and Fandango?
It was Jericho and Fandango. This is the first good match.
Yeah, this was decent.
Yeah, it was decent. Basically, Jericho beat the shit out of him. Mm-hmm. And Fandango, every time he would hit a move on, would have a look like, oh, God, I'm just about to survive. And then banana peel finish.
Really? This is for Jericho and Fandango?
Yeah.
Oh.
Isn't that how you saw it?
Yeah, no, I thought we were talking about the Mark Henry and Ryback match, or we were talking about the Miz Wade Barrett match. But no, we're talking about the Fandango Jericho match.
Good point.
Yeah, no, they're creative.
Yeah, yeah. The agent's working overtime in this one.
Oh, God, yeah, double time. But nice. You know, it was a match. It was all right. Fandango.
But it was better. I mean, Jericho looked really, really good. And Fandango playing his role of a guy who, like I say, I mean, at least he's the guy who, he's the heel. And when he would hit a move on him, he'd have this look like, you know, like, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm, you know, thank God he stopped beating on me, basically, was the expression. And so, you know, it was interesting. And Fandango, of course, like I say, he basically, small package, he, you know, kind of...
I wasn't looking there.
He hooked him.
Schoolboyed him up, and yeah, hooked him up for the victory there. Off of the story was that Jericho got Fandango got his knees up for the Alliance Salt, so Jericho was hurt, bounced over to do the walls, and then got rolled up. So,
and we saw in the post show here, Jericho basically said, "Hey, no matter how, you know, I mean, you can beat me once, but you couldn't beat me again." Basically, you know, anybody can get lucky once and enjoy your moment and try and turn it into something, because this should be a moment that should launch you. But the truth is, at the end of the day, the worst team could beat the best team, you know, once, but it doesn't make them a better team.
Sure. And I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I mean, it's what we expected, basically. Fandango winning a good match.
Fandango, yeah, it was a good match. Like a 3-1 quarter. Fandango had a... the right type of heat, I felt. Like, people were definitely booing him, and I don't think it was necessarily go-away heat. It was hard to tell, though, because the crowd wasn't... And again, it's an open-air stadium, so I mean, it's hard to tell if the crowd wasn't overly, rambunctious, right? But, except for in one match. But, yeah, I mean, it was all right.
It was all right. And then we went on to Alberto Del Rio and Jack Swagger. You should note, too, that throughout the show, of course, you get your commercials for Slim Jim, your National Guard, and your Special Olympics, and your Pain and Gain movie. You also got, like, this is a look at The Rock, and this is a look at John Cena, and some video packages for Del Rio.
The show went 3 hours and 45 minutes, and how many? Any of those. I mean, we only had 8 matches because the Brodus and Brodus and Sweet Tea and Naomi and Cameron or whatever.
Yeah, the 8 person.
Yeah, against two, you know, the Bella Twins and the Road Scholars got bumped.
Right.
So, how many of the 3 hours and 45 minutes? How many do you think was video packages? Because I'm pretty sure that one. You know, The Rock package right early on. I'm pretty sure that right there, an hour 47 minutes.
Yes. Just to get warmed up.
Yeah, basically. But yeah, I mean, of the how many do you think?
Whoa, how much was video package?
Yeah, what do you think?
Way too much. I don't know, 45 minutes?
Yeah, probably about 45 minutes. I'd say about 45 minutes of video packages. I mean, you're constantly tweeting out things like, hey, you know, I mean, a video package already paid for this, or, hey, what a surprise, a video package, and people were retweeting that. They were, you know, it's just kind of, it's obvious that was the way I think a lot of people felt.
Yeah. Post show's over.
Yeah, post show. It went about a half hour.
Yeah, probably about that. Less than the video package.
True.
But yeah, I mean, it's like, fuck, we bought the show already. Let's just get on with it. No backstage skits or segments or anything that.
No interviews backstage. There was one interview in the ring by Zeb Coulter. Trying to ensure for sure that they got the right heel.
Did they get the right reaction by saying New York is a cesspool, exactly. And didn't get to show his entrance because of that.
Yeah.
They were in the ring as it happened. So, you know, you had that, and then you had the match, and then Alberto Del Rio beat Jack Swagger with the armbar.
It was a pretty good match. But the problem was the crowd was booing Swagger and booing Del Rio. They're just booing Swagger a little more, basically. But that was when they were reacting at all, because they were often not reacting at all. Again, not a lot of heat. Jericho match had some heat. That was the first one. Daniel Bryan, the yes chance, the crowd was going crazy for that after the celebration at the end.
Right.
Everybody was on their feet doing the yes and the pointing their fingers in the air thing. But, I mean, up until then, we didn't get much. Good match. Really a nice cross arm breaker submission style move put on by Del Rio.
Yeah.
To get the win.
The finish looked really good. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a really cool looking execution there. Pretty much what we expected. If you were expecting Ziggler, the crowd was chanting, "We want Ziggler" at one point.
Yes.
Not as loud as I expected. The crowd was cheering Ziggler earlier in the match that he was in. He doesn't come out. He loses. He gets pinned. He doesn't come out. He doesn't steal the show. He doesn't... What are they doing with Del Rio now? What are they doing with Del Rio and Swagger? What are they doing with Del Rio and Ziggler? And that's kind of my question for you. I don't see anybody else set up. I don't see, you know, the Ziggler and Del Rio working together right now. Or Swagger. I don't see a rematch coming. I mean, you could do a rematch, but, you know, you're not exactly screaming for it after this. So what are they doing with Del Rio?
Who cares? That's what this show led me out of. I mean, it's like, yeah, okay, Mark Henry against John Cena seems to be, who cares? You know, Alberto Del Rio and anybody.
At least it's new, like I said.
Right? Yeah, but I don't care. It's not going to be, yeah, just someone for Cena to go over. Again, that was sort of with this show, a lot of it was just a paint-by-numbers wrestling show. We said going into it that they needed something to happen in the show to actually make it memorable, because the build to and the actual show itself wasn't, you know, this wasn't a spectacular show going in, and it wasn't a spectacular show coming out. So you got Alberto Del Rio against whoever the fuck, who cares? I mean, Ziggler could cash in tomorrow on Raw, and they could start that whole thing tomorrow on Raw. There's that possibility. So, but as of tonight, I don't care,
if you do that, and I understand Raw has a more of an audience, it'll be the most watched Raw of the year. That said, there's something about the idea of somebody doing this at WrestleMania. It's one of the few new things they could do with the Money in the Bank that they haven't done.
And they didn't do it, though.
And they didn't do it, but it would have been so easy post match to have Swagger come in and grab the crutches from
but they're not good.
Ricardo again. And
they're not good at what they do, and that's the point. So now we're left with who cares. So the next match was Brock Lesnar and Triple H.
No, it wasn't.
No? Oh, it was Undertaker CM Punk, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was the next match. This was the best match on the show.
Easily. Really good match. Again, it kind of leaves you with, four and a quarter, probably somewhere around there.
Yeah,
four and a half, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, crowd was heavily into it, 60-40, Taker.
Well, this is the match that at least the crowd actually cared about.
Easily the most.
Yeah.
And it seems every year, actually, the match they care about the most is the Undertaker's match.
Yeah, is the match of the guy that they only see once a year. Huh, weird.
Very surprising, yeah.
Shocking. But, I mean, so Undertaker, of course, is now 21-0. just good back and forth. I mean, I think the big spot in the match was Punk doing a Macho Man Randy Savage elbow through a Spanish announce table that didn't decide to cooperate.
No, it wasn't supposed to because it got used later. It got used again later. That's when it collapsed.
Well, either way, he's a fucker.
He wasn't supposed to collapse there.
He did it through to the Spanish announce table that did not move.
Yeah,
and that was retarded.
Well, you know, it was a heavy move. It was probably the move of the night, or at least move of the match. Really heavy. Like I say, he got great air and landed it. You know, both guys worked really, really well. Told a really good. Again, it wasn't a. It was just good storytelling, was what it was.
Mm-hmm. It was the best story of
It was just really smart storytelling. And the crowd, like I said, 60-40 Taker, so Punk definitely had his fans. And constant chants. They were right into all the moves, all the spots.
Living Color was great live.
Living Color was awesome.
Cult of Personality, way better than Puff Daddy.
Yeah, no question. They were tremendous.
Although Puff Daddy had the tremendous video. WWF history video leading in.
We should mention, I mean, they opened it, you know, kind of talking about the city of New York and still recovering from Hurricane Sandy, and we think it was Chris Christie's voice.
At the opening?
Yeah.
Oh, it was Chris Christie, yeah, because he even said it. I'm Governor Chris Christie.
Okay, I missed that part, but walking around. I was making us nachos, and
Your special nachos.
My special nachos. I put salsa on there.
Mm-hmm.
And cheese.
Don't tell everybody.
You're right.
Jeez.
Damn it!
Give it away.
Well, I have another idea of another ingredient I can put in there.
Beef?
Don't tell them.
Oh, shit.
We want to test it first. If it's good,
then we'll start to charge people for it. I think we'll call them nachos.
Good idea.
Yeah.
Anyways, so these corn chips I had, and the salsa, and the cheese.
And the cheese, yes.
Nachos. Why are we calling it that?
Huh? I don't know. It seems Spanish. Nacho cheese. It's nacho cheese because you stole the cheese. That's why.
Oh.
It's nacho cheese. But CM Punk, yes, had a great match with The Undertaker. We were talking about how, you know, is this going to be a great match? It's Undertaker. He's another year older. We haven't seen him in a year. There was talk of could he go?
Could his opponent go? And you know, I mean, Punk did look like he looked the softest I've ever seen him look. Fat rolls there, like not skinny fat, fat rolls. And same with Undertaker. I mean,
fatty fat.
And same with fatty fat, fat fat.
Yes.
Yeah, but
if anyone would know.
Then actually, I came down with all my weight on my head.
Oh yeah, I know. Jesus.
Don't make me laugh, that hurts my head.
How many concussions do you think you have?
Oh, fuck. I hate you.
But yeah, no, this was a very good match, and I'm glad I said Punk probably takes some time. I mean, it's the thing is with Punk and Taker, the nice part about it is, of course, Taker will go away now for a while, and so.
Well, I mean, unless he takes on Brock Lesnar or Extreme Rules.
That's true.
As rumored. Yeah, I mean. The thing is, I mean, and probably, but he probably goes away, and Punk probably goes away.
That's right, so that's perfect.
Yeah, it is. Again, it comes down to, is this a perfect time for him to walk away? Or does he go to WrestleMania 30, that's it, and he takes on Cena, you know?
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, that's a story. I mean, I think that's a tremendous story. I mean, it's set right up.
It is, and so we'll see how they... as I said, right now, after watching this show, I don't have confidence in them doing anything, so I'm just in very much wait-and-see mode. I'm not much into the fantasy booking end of things, because we're going to look at things, and it's going to be very obvious and easy, and we're going to do it and say it, and then they're not going to.
No, but the thing is, again, we're at WrestleMania reset. And it's time to hit that reset button. It's time to bring up some more people from down below. Time to have some people turn. Time to have some people form new alliances.
But what I'm saying is that I'm not confident we're going to get that.
Well, we're going to get some of it.
No, I don't think we are. They're fucking stupid.
No, they've already got this in works, from what I understand.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, no. They're fucking stupid.
Well, there is that.
Yeah. So no, if you watch this show and you think that they have any ounce of creativity or thought process behind them, you're a fucking idiot. Because this was a very paint by numbers, everything WrestleMania. What fucking reset do we have? Everything's exactly the same. We have a new goddamn Intercontinental Champion and John Cena, fucking poster child for the 11th time. Woohoo.
Hmm. So you're saying is this show is kind of like
your mom,
kind of like Stephanie McMahon's introduction speech to Trish Stratus,
yes,
for the Hall of Fame,
rehearsed by the numbers with very little thought put into it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay, let's talk Hall of Fame real quick.
Okay. The WWE has a Hall of Fame.
Good.
Okay.
No, the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Real quick. We'll come back to the next match.
Mick Foley stole the show in terms of his speech.
And Bob Backlund Stern stole the show in terms of
his
stealing the time.
He had the Iron Sheik moments of this year.
Yeah, kind of, you know.
And apparently Maria Menounos took like 15 minutes to introduce him.
And got booed because of it.
Yeah.
It got booed heavily.
Boring chance, yeah.
Yeah, Donald Trump got booed heavily.
Vince got booed introducing Donald.
Yeah, that's right. John Cena got booed heavily when he was shown, of course. Very much Ric Flair apparently showed up at the WWE hotel but wasn't there at the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
So I'm not
sure. Did I mention that he's an idiot?
I don't want to say anything about him.
I do. Right, he's now an idiot.
I won't say that.
I will. He's an idiot.
After what he's gone through. But I will say
that he's an idiot?
No, I just don't understand him. Like, honest to God,
No, I don't understand idiots.
Well, if anybody would.
Thank you.
But anyways,
yes, 15 minutes just to get warmed up. Bruno Sammartino got his half hour.
About a half hour, 25 minutes. So.
And Booker T did a spin-a-rooney.
So apparently it was good or bad, but basically people walked away, mainly talking, though, about Bob Backlund. Because he came out, he did the Bob Backlund crazy character.
Yeah.
And at some point in time, you start going, is he working or is he that character? Even when he came out in the Hall of Fame introduction part in...
At Mania,
he had that...
Yeah,
you know,
crazy.
You can't tell with the guy, and I don't know if that's because he's such a good worker, because that's what guys from his era are taught to do. But if so, he's the only one doing that still. So or is he crazy? It comes back to, remember when he was at TNA,
and yes, with Alex Shelley and them.
Yeah,
yeah.
And the guys would come in the back, and he would be literally doing the step up thing.
Well, he would walk from the hotel to
it was like 12 miles. Yeah. People would offer him a ride.
Yeah.
And he would turn them down. People would come up to him for an autograph, and he'd ask you to spell something.
You had to recite the presidents in order.
Yeah, things like. Somehow, at some point, it becomes beyond living the gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. But that's the whole
thing. Bob Backlund, he's awesome.
Oh yeah, he's entertaining enough for what he is.
Yeah.
So
they did introduce the Hall of Fame with Howard Finkel at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
They did that after the Hunter match, I think.
They did that after the Hunter match. Yeah. The Hunter match was next after the CM Punk match.
You know what? Hunter against Brock Lesnar. And right now, because, the post show is over, but I did get a tweet from Paul Heyman. Do you know what Brock Lesnar is actually doing right now?
What?
A Kimura.
Hmm. Yeah, this match featured counter after counter to Kimuras. Actually, it didn't feature counter after counter. It featured Kimura.
Kimura.
I kind of like this match. I think it was pretty good. It had unbelievable lack of heat.
After Kimura.
I mean, there was... But right from the beginning, there was no heat. It was incredible. And I don't know if that's just the come down from so much heat at the, you know, the Punk and an Undertaker match.
Yeah.
Or what it was, but...
Should note that Hunter had a kind of a wacky Castle Grayskull type entrance that may have caught on fire.
You know, he came out, he had white stuff all over him, and apparently that was fire extinguisher.
I thought that he was with Pat Patterson going over his match.
Could be that too.
Yeah. So, but I think that, the match was fine. I mean, it was.
Here's the thing. I mean, they probably did one or two premieres too much or too long because they just kept going back.
So you're a fan of 105 premieres in a match then, are you?
Yeah, that, if they had kept to that instead of to 1,005.
Oh, my
God. That's, and Hunter won, of course, he,
the problem I had with it is...
Did Hunter tap him out? I can't even remember.
Yeah, I think he did. Because Hunter has to tap out the UFC heavyweight champ.
Did he tap him out, or did he win with the pedigree?
No, I think it was a tap out on the steps up to the Kimura.
No, it wasn't. It was, no, it was, the last time he went to pick him up to slam him into the steps, Hunter turned it into a DDT, so it was a DDT on the steps, and then he pinned him.
Oh, okay. There you go.
But basically...
memorable.
Very physical, though. I mean, this is where Hunter goes through that table and it breaks, which is why I, you know, it wasn't meant to break earlier.
Just stupid.
No,
yes, it is.
No, it's not.
You're jumping off a fucking top rope through a table that's not going to break isn't fucking stupid. That's fucking stupid.
Yeah, well,
yeah, that's
if
fucking
it doesn't
stupid.
Break, it doesn't break.
It's fucking stupid.
It's not,
when you know it's not going to break, it's fucking stupid for someone, for a human being to jump through to a table that's not going to break, knowing full well it's going to break, is fucking stupid.
Why?
What? What?
Why?
What? It's okay, Mo. It's a smart idea. Here, get off here. Jump through your fucking table. No, well, you're 8,000 pounds. What do you think? Fucking break. You jump through the fucking thing. Jump off the balcony through.
But here's the thing.
And
if,
hit,
if it was,
and hit the concrete, which isn't going to break. It's a good idea. Go do it. It's a good idea.
Well, I did. I landed right
in
my head.
I know. And you haven't stopped bitching about it.
Fucking hurts.
Yeah. That's why. But you didn't do it on purpose. Had you done that on purpose, you'd be a fucking idiot.
Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. When he comes up there, he jumps off the table. He's not thinking to himself he's breaking or not breaking. He's just hitting the move. Like, he put himself in the psychology of CM Punk. It doesn't matter. I mean, he's hitting the move.
Yeah.
Like, the move is meant to hurt the other, you, but hurt the other guy more. And it did that. And that's the point. The idea that it didn't break, and when it broke later when off a belly to belly suplex type, the overhead belly to belly
suplex.
Yeah, it
was an overhead,
And it breaks, the idea is that has even, is that's how powerful Lesnar is. It has even more force than what Punk did. And that's how devastating this move is right now. So the psychology behind it, I don't mind. It comes down to, and there was a bunch of belly to belly overhead suplexes, and it looked to me like Hunter took some serious
talk about that being the psychology.
And the match was incredibly, that was the thing. It was slow paced, much like their SummerSlam match.
Mm-hmm.
But this one was legitimately, that one was physical. This one was crazy physical. If you actually broke down the moves and the things that were and how stiff it was, and Hunter, you have the WWE style, and then you have Lesnar, whose style is more similar to a Japanese strong style, and even the elbow he hit Sean with broke Sean's nose.
Yes.
Legit. I mean, and this, there was a bunch of hard way blood in this night, but...
More cuts and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just... Les, you know, because the match was so physical, I found it interesting. And not a bad story, just a little slow paced.
Yeah, it was
a little bit too much of the Kimura.
It was an average. Yeah, the Kimura was way too
hurt
much.
By the fact that
slow.
The crowd was not into it after the last match.
But not the worst thing in the world. I mean, just average.
Yeah,
you know. What did we do? We had the Hall of Fame thing we talked about, and then Cena and The Rock.
Yeah.
John Cena won the title. I don't know, match was...
Well, John Cena came out right at the beginning. He's running out. He's smiling and laughing and jumping around. And I mentioned it's like, we talked before, Jeff Hardy had to lose the belt that one time to Sting. He came out, he had a total boo-boo face. And you've seen that when guys are going to do the job. They have the boo-boo face. And this was the anti-boo-boo face. Like, this was... he came out and you went, oh, he's going over. And it just ruined the whole match for me, basically, because he was just so... Nobody acts like if they're fighting for their life and redemption. Nobody comes out like that. And that's the John Cena that's hateable. That guy who fucking doesn't understand the psychology of the moment he's in. And he doesn't. And so he comes out and does that. Rock comes out. John Cena had some extreme heel moments in this one. But the idea that the crowd wasn't that into it at first, but as the match went on, they got into it.
Yeah, the last 15 minutes they were into.
And the reason why is because they did a really good job of building spots off last year's Mania.
Yeah.
And telling them again, but with different twists. And again, different twists on and then twist upon twist and counter upon counter.
Yeah.
Within their own match, that it was, again, a good story and a good match.
I was starting to get bored, though, with the whole...
It happened maybe one or two.
With the counters of the AA to the...
Because they did that like seven, eight times, right?
Yeah.
AA.
Rock bottom A, rock bottom A, rock bottom A.
Yeah, counter.
Yeah,
like, who's going to hit it? But, I mean, eventually, yeah, John Cena wins it. Afterwards, you got The Rock in the ring saying, this is why I came back. Shaking his hand and then giving him a hug and whispering something to him in his ear, and the crowd booing like crazy.
Really bad. I mean, the finish, and again, they did play off last year where Cena did one too many deals, and he stood there and he acted like he was going to, he thought like he wasn't going to do it again, and then he said, fuck it, I'm going to do it. All the time, he's got this really evil grin on his face.
Really heelish. And some really heel moves.
Then he went to
facial.
And then he did a really hilarious blocking of the people's elbow with the thing. And he jumped over Rock, and then the story was, and Rock, of course, jumped up like he did last year, but Cena hooked the ropes because he had knew, and he kind of suckered him in to it, and then brought Rock right up for the AA, but only for a two.
Yeah. And that spot was a great spot, really well set up. Because you thought the match was over for sure there.
That's right, exactly. And, but I thought the aftermatch was the part that I thought was really anticlimactic and just weird. And it's Cena wins, like you said, they talk to each other, Rock saying that's why I went back, just them two talking to each other. We could hear it, not on the mic, but...
Not like we could hear it many times earlier in the match, during the match when
Rock would call him a motherfucker.
He did it like seven times.
Get out, motherfucker!
Yeah, it was awesome.
But the thing was, and then Cena has the belt and points to the Rock and says to the crowd, like, cheer this man.
Yeah.
And then Rock's music played.
Yeah.
And Cena walks up the ramp and is gone, and then Rock just stands there, does nothing.
No.
He just stands there for, like, well, I don't know.
Well, now he's acting dejected, all right? And then finally he kind of looks at the crowd and goes, thank you.
But
and says, I love you. And then the crowd is going crazy at the end of that part. Then they got to the Rock top of the ramp where Cena was waiting for him, and they raised each other's hands again, and the crowd's booing again. And they kept on talking, and well, what a classy, the announcer, what class, both of these men just have so much class and whatever.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day...
Goldberg, one of the announcers?
Yeah, no kidding. At the end of the day, again, it just comes across like, okay, you're trying too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And B...
you've accomplished nothing.
Yeah, like, where do you go from this? Okay, so Henry and Cena, I guess. And The Rock's supposed to be there next month, and I don't know what the thing is. And
yeah.
It's just kind of like... The Rock looks sad upon losing, at least. I mean, at least that counts or something, but...
I'll watch Raw tomorrow. We'll see kind of what happens, but I'm not really...
It just doesn't have you feeling like... And like, as a show, it's about a 6.5 out of 10.
Which so is, I'd give it a 6.
6.5?
Just slightly above average. Like, above a halfway mark.
Which is about what last year's Mania was.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And again, it just kind of... You go...
But I think the feel...
Where's the excitement?
The feel of the main event last year was bigger.
Oh, definitely.
You know, but, well, that's the thing. Where do you go? Where are they going to go? Is it, they had all the opportunities in the world to set this up.
They just could have... I think that's the part that's annoying.
There's a possibility to pull the trigger tomorrow. And that's why I kind of reserve judgment. As I said, at this point, I think they're idiots. But
when I'm watching the Cena at the top of the ramp with the Rock, and, watching him tell the fans to cheer him and everything, it's like they're not going to do anything interesting. And that's what this show was screaming for, one or two interesting twists. And because we got no twists, there's nothing interesting. It's really hard to go. But there's just nothing that makes you excited, like I say. I mean, and you didn't even have, like I say, it was weird. You don't have any backstage skits, which I liked that they didn't have the Heath Slater and the
Zack Ryder's and the
Mean Gene being kissed by Moolah, and Mean Gene and Bobby Heenan being kissed by Moolah, and Mae Young.
Yeah, that didn't happen this year.
No. Remember that happened? Actually, that was awesome.
That was WrestleMania 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that was awesome. Anyways, but yeah, at the end of the day, what you got was, you know, just a show that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end,
we just watched, ironically, New York, in New York, New Jersey, we watched Seinfeld.
Yeah.
A show about nothing.
That's kind of it, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Again, when this whole thing starts, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever, with Cena and Rock and blah, 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 the whole point was, when this thing ends, that Cena was supposed to be a bigger star. Bigger star, more respected by the fans,
mm-hmm.
A bigger box office draw, just bigger in every way.
Yes.
Is he?
No.
Yeah, that's kind of the fail, isn't it?
Well, I mean, wrestling hasn't changed in probably the last, at least the last 3 years. I mean, the last, you know, there hasn't been anything, because everybody's the same. Again, and this is what we talk about for the last few years, in that what we've been relying upon are the Shawn Michaels against The Undertaker,
yeah.
and the Bret Hart against the Vince McMahon, and then you had the Hunter and The Undertaker, and Rock coming back, and Rock and Cena, and you know, now we have Brock back, and Undertaker.
So you can actually have Brock and Rock, and Cena and Taker.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, and again, but that's just, so all everything else is doing is spinning your wheels so that these old established stars can have their quote unquote dream matches at WrestleMania.
I just don't know how does The Rock, and he puts over Cena, does the right thing in this way. Mm-hmm. A lot of ways that the right thing is done, and yet Cena to me doesn't feel like a bigger star. No. I think he's a slightly bigger star.
I don't think
like
so.
If he, I think so, because I think two, like this year I was able to I talked to a few people where I work, and a few people go, oh yeah, that John Cena guy, he's their star right now. And 2 years ago they didn't know that. Now they could see his face and kind of go, yeah, what's his name? John Cena.
Yeah, okay.
He's their star.
He's been out there, yeah.
So they didn't have that 2 years ago. So I mean, I think he's slightly bigger, but he's certainly not more respected. Now the fans did not want to see these people embrace.
No.
I mean, like I say, tonight I saw a lot of the John Cena that I hate, and a few moments of the John Cena I want to see that I would love.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the things I hate, so I don't know. It is what it is. What happens on Raw tomorrow, you think? Oh, wait, nothing, right?
Who knows? Who knows? We'll see. I mean, as I said, I don't know. I mean, what could happen on Raw, what will happen on Raw, will probably be two largely different things, so I don't even care to speculate. Well, as I said, I'll reserve judgment till we do the show on Thursday, after I've seen Raw, and then I'll be able to just kind of tell if this is something that, I mean, we just got our tickets for Monday Night Raw, May 27th in Calgary.
We also got our tickets to watch May 30th.
Yes.
Mick Foley.
Mick Foley's doing stand-up, yeah.
He performs stand-up comedy, so we'll talk to you about that. That's on the Thursday. On the Thursday right after the Raw, so that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Which means he's probably going to be here for the Raw and stay in town a few days, or is he going to travel around and come back here? Who knows?
I don't know.
It's kind of, yeah, it's kind of interesting. But that should be fun. Yeah, you're right. I don't know about tomorrow night. Like I say, I hope some interesting stuff happens, but
yeah, I would hope, but I'm not, but I don't have any real
stuff. The Rock is supposed to be there at Extreme Rules. Brock is supposed to be there at Extreme Rules. Brock lost.
Yeah, Brock lost too.
Brock lost. And neither one of these set up for a rematch, as far as I can tell. So what the fuck?
Yeah, I know. They don't have any.
No, seriously. Like, where do you go from? Like, do they have a plan? Like, how is this, any of this setting up? Like, neither one of them was made to look bad or anything like that, but
I'm sure Vince McMahon changed his mind 30 times leading into the show today or yesterday, this weekend. And so that's what you got, right? I mean, so who knows? What I know tomorrow is we'll probably get the 8-man that we didn't get tonight. We'll probably get that on Raw, and we'll probably get AJ beating Caitlyn for the Divas Championship, right?
Yeah.
So that's the only reason I could see Ziggler cashing in tomorrow, is so that both of them could be the champions leaving Raw tomorrow.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. Yeah.
And if that's where you want to go with creating a quote unquote power couple with them each having the title, then you could ride that through the summer, sure. you know.
On SmackDown, sure.
Yeah, that's what it would be.
Yeah.
Right? Well, there, I mean, there is no Raw or SmackDown.
No, but, well, but it's still...
No, they would...
It's still the secondary title, and that's the secondary show, is what I mean.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, they'd be all over both, and I mean, yeah. Just whatever, right? So, it would really, I mean, that's what we would...
But they would never... But on SmackDown, they would be the main event, whereas on Raw, they'll be mid-card.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but either way, it'll be the slow devaluation of the World Heavyweight Championship as Ziggler jobs on every other Raw.
So Ziggler will do for the world title what Antonio Cesaro does for the U.S. title.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm interested to see Raw just to see what happens, see what the crowd will be, if it'll be like last year's post-Mania crowd in the small, you know, the hardcore fans in that smaller arena base.
We can definitely see that.
You know, so that should be that part would be interesting, and so we'll do the show on Thursday and find the fuck out.
Yeah, alright, so we're OUT?
I think we really are. We should admit that Jay Briscoe is the Ring of Honor Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, I'd like to see that. I guess it's probably on IPV still.
Yeah, so you couldn't see it.
Not from ROH, no.
No.
Or WWE.
Yeah, or any of them, I think. I think Evolve and Dragon, yeah, they all had problems with this eye pay-per-view shit over the weekend, so.
They should do it as well as Next Generation Wrestling.
They should. Or New Japan.
Yeah.
But... Anyway, that's gonna do it. So you can hit us up. We're at We Talk Wrestling on Twitter. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. @ WeTalkWrestling.com. If you got a question for us, email it or tweet it. We'll maybe get to answer it on Thursday's show, depending on how much news happens.
Well, it should be newsworthy this week.
Well, we say should be. I said.
Historically, right after WrestleMania, there's a lot of news.
Yeah, we'll see.
You're really, you know, creative was terrible build up, and they did nothing interesting tonight.
Terrible build up, terrible execution. So I have no faith in anything happening.
I don't mind the in ring work once we got past this second match.
Right.
The first match was shitty in ring work. Second match was a Ryback, and that was shitty.
That was just Battle of Behemoths type stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was shitty. And then the in ring work for the rest of the night was pretty good.
It was solid.
The storytelling was not, and that's it. The twists and the booking and just kind of boring.
That's it. When the guys were in the ring and the wrestlers were in charge of the story, I think it was all fine. It's everything that needed something else. You know, the Vince McMahon touch, as it were, for both build-up and post, just did nothing.
Which is surprising, because he's really on his game
right now. He's on his game, yes. I hope he gets off his game soon.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, because there's a point when the Triple H was making a comeback against Brock Lesnar, where Michael Cole said, "There's still some flame in the game."
Yes, there's still some flame in the game. Or flame in the game, yeah.
Yeah.
And they said, so it was Pat Patterson that he was in before, yeah.
Apparently.
So,
yeah. All right, that's it. We're done.
Everything else we're going to do, WeTalkWrestling.com is the website. So, yes. Yeah, so, that's going to do it then. In the meantime, and in between time, another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
We're being visited by aliens.